Blog Talk Radio.
How are you two doing today?
I'm great.
Amen. Amen. And what about yourself, Sister Denise?
I'm great.
Amen. You both sound like Tony the Tiger.
We're great.
Amen. It is good to be alive. I pray the same for everybody else that is, you know, that they are being blessed. Yah is good and greatly to be praised.
Yeah.
If I can get more people to inquire about this spiritual wellness, I really do think once we get it going, it's going to take off. Because, you know, our people are hurting. And or even people that aren't a part of this ministry, you know, have been talking about it, and they are interested in taking part. So we'll see how it goes. I need to give me a clock like that. Have it play something. You know, I wonder if they probably could do that today, too. Get by a clock and play whatever song you want at that time. But, yeah, chime clocks, I've always loved them.
Yes.
You know, they're just, yeah. But anyway, as soon as my machine is about 97% done. Now, both of you, do you have access to the Internet?
Yes.
Okay. And on something other than your phone?
Yes, I got a tablet.
Okay, amen. And you, Sister Denise?
That was me saying that.
Oh, okay. Y'all sound alike. Y'all must be sisters.
We are sisters.
All right, amen. I got to the point where I really couldn't tell you two apart just now. Usually I can tell. So if y'all have access to the Internet, then yeah, well, as soon as I get my office back together, there's some things I want to introduce you guys to. Let's see here.
Okay.
Let me bring back up my document now for the office. Installed again. And why is the thing getting genuine when I just installed the new version of this? I'm not going to worry about it right now. Now, I wonder if this is too early for people, other people are too late. Maybe it's just the film. Who knows? Anyway, we are, let me find where I'm at in here. I know I opened up this other document. Okay. Now let's go ahead and let us pray again. Let's do this. 9 after, we'll give people one more minute. Okay, we were talking about the offices, and we were talking about the pastor on last time. Okay. All right, so we're going to go ahead and start this off, do our thing. As people come in, they can join in if they come. If not, we're going to proceed. Okay, let us go to our statement of faith. Let me go ahead and have you ladies to cover your head. If it's not already covered, let's turn toward the east. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of God, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 8 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together and to do your business, Father. It is you that has ordained this, and we are here to complete what you have started and given to us to do. So, Father, we make space here for you tonight. We ask that you allow us to come together in unity, in the spirit of brotherly love. In Yeshua HaMashiach express his name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
The book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. And I got some different monitors in real life. I got to change the fonts on things. Writing is way too small for my eyes. The book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3. See how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that came down on the edge of his robe, like the dew of Hermon that comes down on the hills of Zion. The bear Yah gives the blessing, even life forevermore. And the Most High blesses to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. I make a motion that we bring this meeting to order.
I second.
Amen. Well, we still got to take a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. We are in section 11 of this document, the religious order. And I'm going to come back and do section 10. There's some rewording that I want to do in here before we even read it. Section 11, the religious order. The religious order of this church will be called the Melchizedek Order. Covenant fellowship partners of the order may be either married or single, and may be either male or female. This order shall be an integral part of the church and shall be governed and directed by the local presbytery. And that's the book of Numbers, chapter 3 and 4. So let's go get the book of Numbers, chapters 3 and 4.
Amen.
So we're just going to Numbers, chapter number 1. Yeah, no, it's not Numbers 1. Numbers chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And when you have it, you say amen.
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 All right, amen. Now, this is the history of the generations of Aaron and Moses. In the day that, let me get a different version of this. I like this version, but I need to make sure that it reads the same place. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that Yah spake with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests which are anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest office. And Nadab and Abihu died before Yah when they offered strange fire before Yah in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron, their father. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron, the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle. Give me a hot second here. This is scrolling like way too fast. First up. And they shall keep his charge and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. Now this priesthood under the Aaronic priesthood and the order, the Levites, the tribe of Levi, was given to Aaron and his sons for the service of the tabernacle. Aaron and his sons were the what? High priests, the family of the high priest. His sons and him were the only ones that were allowed out of all the Levites. They were allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. The rest of the Levites, the Levitical tribe, all the other families, they were given to this family to do the service of the tabernacle. And they actually, the family of Aaron actually really owned all the other Levites. They were given to them as a possession. I was surprised when I saw that in the scripture. So they fell into, they fell up under Aaron and his son. And Aaron and his sons were supposed to make sure that everything was done decent and in order. But each family within the Levitical tribe, they were given specific duties. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, verse 9, and thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait on their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. So this, the office of the high priest, up under the Levitical priesthood, was only for Aaron and his sons. A stranger, and a stranger would be considered even their cousins from the other family. They could not come close to, like, the Ark of the Covenant. They weren't authorized to touch it. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, and I, behold, I have taken the Levite from among the children of Israel. And now this is what I was talking about before, where the firstborn males of all the firstborn males of Israel belonged to, were given to the tribe of Levi. They had to be redeemed with a shekel from the temple, 5 shekels, I believe it was. Now we're going to see where the Most High is saying that all the firstborn, there's going to be a Levite that is for a one-for-one basis, one Levite for one firstborn is going to be the redemption. And behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel. Instead of all the firstborn and opened the matrix among the children of Israel, therefore the Levites shall be mine. All the firstborn belong to who? The Most High. Even when he brought them out, of Egypt, he was telling them, hey, all the firstborn of Pharaoh, all the firstborn in Egypt, all the firstborn all over the world belong to the Most High. Mm-hmm. So he's saying now for the tribe of Israel, instead of the firstborn being taken from each family, I'm going to take a Levite instead. Therefore, the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are what? Mine. For on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. Mine shall they be. I am Yah. So we got to understand that if you're the firstborn in your family, you are automatically supposed to be dedicated to the Most High. Out of every family on the earth. So there's a lot of reconciling that needs to go on. And Yah spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers, by their families. Every male from a month old upward shall thou number them. So now we're numbering the children of Levi. And they have to be how old to be numbered? Every male from a month old and upward. And Moses numbered them according to the word of Yah, as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon and Kohath and Merari. And these are the names of the son of Gershon by their families, Libni and Shimei. And the sons of Kohath and their families, Amram and Izhar and Hebron and Aziel. Go too far. And the sons of Merari by their families, Mahali and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to the house of their fathers. Of Gershon was the family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites. These are the families of the Gershonites, those that were numbered of them according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward. Even those that were numbered of them were 7,500. And the families of Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. We're saying that this family, their position around the tabernacle was where? Westward. So they were on the west side of the tabernacle. And this has to be assuming that the tabernacle is facing north. The head of it is facing north. And the chief of the house of the father of the Gershonites shall be Elisaphat, the son of Lael. And the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation shall be the tabernacle and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging of the doors of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the court for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, and by the altar round about, and the cords of it, and all the service thereof. So this is their job, taking care of the tabernacle itself, the tent, and the covering of it. And the hanging of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hanging of the court and the curtains for the door of the court, which is by the tabernacle, and by the tabernacle round about, and the cords of it for all the service thereof. This was assigned to this family, the families of the Gershonites. And we're going over this because we're going to see that there's some things. I have some brothers that they don't know why the churches have a choir. They don't know, there's so many things that people question that were a part of the original tabernacle. And that's why I say, even, coming into the ministry, we have to understand that from the, you know, the tabernacle was designed after the pattern of the one in heaven. So the tabernacle in heaven also has what? Choirs. It has people, angels that attend to it. And it's permanent. But, you know, it's still, they still go in and out. We read that in Revelation. So on the earthly one, this one was at this time mobile. So it needs to be set up and torn down every time that they move. This was assigned to this family. They were assigned to this work. Okay. Let's continue. And Kohath was the family of the Amorites. Amramites, yeah. And the family of the Israelites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites. And the number of all the males from a month old and upward were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. And the families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. So we had the first family, the Gershonites, they pitched to the west. They set up their families and their tents to the west of the tabernacle. This family, the family of Kohath, was supposed to pitch their tent and set them up to the south of the tabernacle. And the chief of the house of the fathers of the family of the Kohites shall be Elisaphan, the son of Aziel. And their charge shall be the ark, and the table, and the candlesticks, and the altars, and the vessels of the sanctuary wherewith they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be chief over the chief of the Levites, and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. So now the Most High said, okay, you guys are responsible for the altar. You know, you're responsible for the ark and the table and the candlestick and the altars and the vessels of the sanctuary with which they minister, and the hanging and all the service, anything that's required of these pieces. But you also, Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the high priest, shall be over, chief over the chief of the Levites. So there's going to be a chief over all the other families of the Levites, but then he reports to who? Aaron's son. So we're going to have captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of fifties, and then captains of tens. That's as far down as it went in the order. So whoever was the captain over 1,000, they would report to Aaron's son, Eleazar. And Merari was the family of the Mahalites and the family of the Mushites. These are the families of Merari. And those were the number of them according to the number of all the males from 1 month and upward were 6,200. And the chief of the house of the father of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. I don't know if that's Abihail or Abihail. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward. So now this is the family that's at the front, northward. And under the custody and charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and the boards thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all that serve thereto, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords. But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. So those that are on the east side, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. Now the stranger that cometh near this, if you're not a Levite, you have not been assigned a job, which all the families were of the Levites, whether it's the tabernacle itself, the altar, or the boards, whatever it was, those families that were assigned to it, and then Moses and, you know, Moses being the prophet and Aaron being the high priest and their families, they were to the east. Anybody that came near to this other than them were supposed to be put to death. Because the stranger here is not the stranger. These are the other 11 tribes. They were not allowed to come close to this. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of Yah throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward, from 20 and 2,000. And Yah said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel. Now we're going to number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am Yah, instead of the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered, as Yah commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males, by the number of men, from a month old and up, of those that numbered of them, were 20,273 or this is going to be 22,273. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn from among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine, I am Yah. And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are born, which are more than the Levites, thou shalt even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs. Now, when we understand this, the Most High said, a one-for-one trade, a Levite for a firstborn of the Levites for the firstborn of the children of Israel. And then whatever was over that number, so they came up with, there was 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites. For all those that were more than the Levites, they had to be redeemed by a shekel, by paying 5 shekels apiece for each one of those firstborn that could not be redeemed by that were over the number of the amount of Levites. So thou shalt take even the 5 shekels, a piece of the pole, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and thou shalt take them, the shekel is 20 gerahs, and thou shalt give the money, wherewith the odd number of them is to be redeemed, unto Aaron and unto his sons. Now, this redemption and this money, you know, brothers be talking about they don't want to pay tithes, and tithes is corn and this, that, and the other. This redemption money for each one that was above the number of Levites, that went to Aaron's family and his sons. And Moses took up the redemption money of them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. And of the firstborn of the children of Israel, took he the money, 1,365 shekels. And after the shekel of the sanctuary, and Moses gave the money of them that were redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of Yah, as Yah commanded Moses. Now, I want to talk about this for a minute, because Moses showed me this a while back, and what we have to understand is, and I'm going to open up your mic here. What we have to understand is that in the global kingdom, this concept and this precept, even up under the Melchizedek order, because this order really is a heavenly order. Okay, so when the Most High told Moses to make the tabernacle after the order of the tabernacle that's in heaven. Make it exactly as I've shown you. And now, just as the Melchizedek order pays tithes, what will happen in the future, and I don't know when, but I know it's going to happen, the priesthood of the Most High, the world will have to pay this redemption price to the Melchizedek priesthood. So I want you to think about this. Every person in the world, those that survive, the firstborn, they will have to be paid because the firstborn will still belong to the Most High. And so however many priests that he has, however many Melchizedek priests there are, the firstborn of those, the Most High will say, okay, I want to give a one-for-one trade. Now, whatever's left, they will have to be redeemed the same way as you see the children of Israel being redeemed. This is a microcosm of what is done in the heavens. Was done in the heavens. This is a microcosm of what's going to be done in the earth. So he started off with Israel. It is now the firstborn. The firstborn of everything in the world belongs to the Most High. You got to understand that all the firstborn. Doesn't matter whether it's just in Israel. It's all the firstborn in the world, and all the firstborn in the world have to be redeemed. So at some point, up under the Melchizedek priesthood, probably when Messiah returns, he's going to say, all right, I have so many priests. This is the number. And the number of the firstborn priests, let's say it's 100,000. Just put a number out there. So 100,000 of the firstborn of the world will be redeemed. Anything over that, it will be required to pay that 5 shekels to be redeemed to the Most High. Do you think that the Melchizedek priesthood is going to be poor?
No.
It will not. It won't be poor. Imagine, let's just say that I think I looked this up in silver before, and that it averaged about $50 today. Imagine that every firstborn in the world that's remaining, let's just keep it simple number. Right now we have close to 7 billion people in the world. Let's say that 3 billion of those are firstborn. And if 3 billion had to pay $50 to be redeemed to the Melchizedek order, the Melchizedek order will start off $150 billion in wealth. And that's just thrown out, and I'm thinking these are small numbers. But understand that the system that the Most High has in place, it will continue. He didn't just set this because it was, you know, he made up something. He said, this is after the pattern, what, in the heavens. So the firstborn are mine. The firstborn has to be redeemed, but I'm going to take a one-for-one from the priesthood. The priesthood is his. So I'm going to, rather than the world send me, you know, one of their firstborn, I will use the priesthood that I have, just like he's doing here. And anything that's above and beyond the priesthood, it has to be redeemed. So whatever that number is. So we got to understand that this is what the plan that the Most High has already put into place. This is the plan that will continue to be. And right now he's telling people, you know, I want you to pay your tithe, and I want you to take care of the homeless, the fatherless, and the widows, the orphans. Take care of them. And this is how the priesthood, this is really payroll money. Because, as I said before, The Most High gave the priesthood this for their service to him. So we can see that this is not just tithe, but this is also what? Redemption money. And the firstborn, all the firstborn have to be redeemed. He didn't say every person in the family, just as a firstborn, had to be redeemed. A one-for-one priest. One firstborn for one priest. If not, what would happen is this. Once, if we can see this and hear this. If the firstborn, if all the firstborn in the world belong to the Most High, then that would mean that all the firstborn in the world would have to come into the priesthood, whether they wanted to or not. They would automatically be drafted. You belong to Yah. You're going to work in the priesthood. Instead of doing that, Yah chose to take those. He chose a family, but even today, he's choosing those that he has called to it. Now, we are all into the Melchizedek priesthood, but we are all still assigned to a specific family or a tribe. We don't know which one it is right now, but Most High knows. And so we are still supposed to be doing this today. There are some things that are in the scriptures that I've never, you know, I know that they're there, but I've never heard anybody teach them. And the reason that people don't teach it is because they say, oh, you just have the money. But we just read that the firstborn had to be redeemed with five shepherds.
Yep.
Or did Brother Miles make that up?
It's in the book.
It's in the book. So what we got to understand is there's even a penalty, a financial penalty for sin. You never hear people talk about that either. They talk about bringing their, you know, their sacrifice. But there's a financial penalty for sin. That's one of the things that if it's not a sin unto death, I think he's going to reinstitute that as well. Want to act evil? Want to do bad? You're going to pay for it. And then if it's bad enough, you're going to go to the lake of fire.
Hmm.
So, you know, if you're all the time paying for your sin, literally paying for it, that should also be a deterrent because you can never get up. Especially for us that love the sin. But I think that a lot of people, you know, feel like they could buy their way out of it. And I think that up under the system of the Most High, because he knows you can't fool him. And he will be, you know, in charge then. But we will have the ability as well. So this is what being elevated to that Godhead also does. The same power that he has, he is delegated, is what it really is, to us. It is him in us that does the work. And so he can see whether a person is being real or not. And if they just like the Ananias and Sapphira, if they just lie, they're not lying to you or me, they're lying to who? The Most High. And he's the one that's going to take action. It just comes through us. And this is the way he wants to operate. So, you know, for those that are faithful and paying their tithes, I say, yeah, bless you. Because God's really going to bless you. Because you're faithful. To those of us who have been struggling or maybe not have started, then we want to start. Because this is the way the Most High has designed to finance his kingdom. And if we are not in the habit of doing it now, trust me. When you have to do it, you're not going to do it with a smile on your face. If you haven't been used to doing it. So just understand that this was the financial system that the Most High set up from the very beginning. The priesthood is not supposed to be poor. The priesthood is not supposed to love money either. So in order to get into this, you got to first not really have a love of what? Marriage. Because that's what you're going to be after. Instead of the will of the Most High, instead of just looking after the body the way it's supposed to be, they'll be trying to get rich. They'll be trying to, you know, that's what they're living for. And the Most High says, no, we're going to, you know, there's a lot of work to be done in the kingdom. And so I don't want the families of the priesthood suffering and struggling, having to go out and get jobs other than what I've assigned them to do. Let's continue. Let's go to chapter 4. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their family, by the house of their father, from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. So with their job, they had to be between the ages of what? 30 years old and 50 years old. And this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy thing. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of the badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth of the holy blue, and shall put in the staff thereof. And upon the table of the showbread, they shall spread a cloth of blue, and put thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and covers to cover withal. And the continual bread shall be thereon. And they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering of badger skin, and shall put in the staff thereof. So they're in charge of the altar and the tables and the dishes and all those things that are associated with it, the most holy things. And they shall take a cloth of blue and cover the candlestick of the light and his lamps and his tongs and his snuff dishes and all the oil vessels thereof wherewith they minister unto. And they shall put it and all the vessels thereof within a covering badger skin and shall put it upon the bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth of blue and cover it with a covering badger skin and shall put it in the staff thereof. So now they are responsible for tearing down and packing up the most holy thing. And they shall take all the instruments of the ministry wherewith they minister in the sanctuary and put them in the cloth of blue and cover them with a covering of badger skin and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread purple cloth thereon. And they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about, even the censers and the pleasures and the shovels and the basins and all the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins and put to the staffs of it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, and as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. So Aaron and his sons, they are to pack up what? The most holy thing. Put it in badger skin. Wrap it in purple or blue, and then put it in badger skin, and then pack it up. Once it's packed up, Kohath and his sons were to come to bear it. They were to carry it. But they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. So when it talks about strangers, as I told you, it's not talking about those people who weren't Israel. If you weren't one of Aaron's sons, you couldn't touch any of the most holy things directly. The sons of Kohath were the only ones that were allowed to bear it, to carry it. But they couldn't do what? Touch it.
Yes.
So The stranger in these cases is depending upon what your job is. If you weren't Aaron and his sons, you were a stranger to the most holy thing. Didn't matter if you were a Levite. This was, they were assigned to do, to handle the most holy things. And then Kohath and his sons were, they were assigned to what? Pick it up with these staffs and carry. But they better not touch anything with those staffs. So that's why I say we have to understand. Now, this is a strict protocol. And the office of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest pertaineth the oil of the life and the sweet incense and the daily meat offering and the anointing oil and the oversight of all the tabernacle and all that therein is in the sanctuary and in the vessels thereof. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, cut ye not off the tribe of the families of the Kohites from among the Levites, but thus do unto them that they may live and not die. When they approach unto the most holy things, Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. So they weren't even supposed to go in and see that most holy thing, lest they die. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, take also the sum of the sons of Gershon, and throughout the houses of their families and by their families, from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old, shalt thou number them. Now, what age are we supposed to be retiring at?
50.
50, amen. 51, actually. But 50 is supposed to be your last year of work. For 30 years old and upward until 50 years old, shalt thou number them. All that enter into perform the service to do the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the service of the family of the Gershonites to serve for burdens. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle. And And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation, its covering and the covering of the badger skins that is above and upon it, and hanging from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the hangings of the court, and the hangings of the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords and all the instruments of their service, and all that is made for them, so shall they serve. At the appointment of Aaron and his son shall be the service of the sons of Gershon. And in all their burdens and all their service, and you shall appoint unto them in charge all their burdens. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle of the congregation. And their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. So Ithamar is over the Gershonites. Make sure that they come and get the curtains, and you tell them who to get, pick up what and what have you. As for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families for the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, up even up to 50 years old, shalt thou number them, everyone that enters into the service, to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now think about this. They couldn't come into this service until they were 30 years old, and they were to retire at 50 years old. 20 years of service. Everyone that enters into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And this is the charge of their burden. According to their service, to the tabernacle of the congregation, the boards of the tabernacle and the bars thereof and the pillars thereof and the sockets thereof, everything that it takes to put it together, to hold it together. The pillars of the court round about and their sockets and their pins and their cords with all their instruments and with all their service. And by the name, by name, you shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden. This is the service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Moses and Aaron, the chief of the congregation, numbered the sons of the Kohites after their families and after their houses of their fathers, from 30 years old upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that enters into the service for the work to the tabernacle of the congregation. And those that were numbered of them of their families were 2,750. These were they that were numbered of the families of the Kohites, and all that might do the service in the tabernacle of the congregation, which Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandments of Yah by the hand of Moses. And those that were numbered of the sons of Gershon throughout their families and by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entered into the service for the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Even those were numbered of them throughout their families, by their house of their fathers, were 2,630. And these are they that were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, and all those that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, whom Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of Yah. And those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari throughout their families and by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that entered into the service for the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them after their families, were 3,200. And these, by those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the word of Yah, by the hand of Moses, all those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered, of their families after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that came to do the service of the ministry and the service of the burden in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those were numbered of them, were 8,504 score or 80. According to the commandments of Yah, they were numbered by the hands of Moses, everyone according to his service and according to his burden, those that were numbered of them, as Yah commanded Moses. So what we want to also glean out of this is, number one, Aaron the high priest and his family were in charge of all the other priests, which were Levites. But they weren't high priests. They were only Aaron and his sons were high priests. The other Levites were priests, but their job was to carry the tabernacle, tear it down, and put it back together. Every time they moved, each family had their set jobs. When the first ones would come in, would be the ladder. They would come in and tear down the barriers, the curtains, and all that stuff, start packing it up. While they were doing that, Aaron and his sons would be packing up the altar and all the most holy things and setting it up so that the sons of Kohath could come in, and they would be the ones that would bear it. They would be the ones carrying it. And each family had their responsibility. And they started their responsibilities at the age of 30, and they retired at the age of 50. It's not a bad life. I don't think it is. You work 20 years, and then, you don't have to worry about your living, because the system that the Most High made for the priesthood was that the children of Israel would take care of the priesthood. Your service to Yah, and you had to be spot on, was 20 years. And then you retired. Somebody younger came in to carry that load. In today's church, in today's organization, we got to understand that there are different offices. And every office has its responsibility. And each and every one of us have to know what we're called to.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be the high priest. But we're all priests. And so in order for the Most High system to work, everyone has to be in submission to everyone. Even the high priest couldn't be puffed up, even though his responsibility was to make sure in his family that the most holy things were taken care of and everything concerning them. Each of those jobs was assigned, an overseer of those jobs was assigned to one of Aaron's sons. Now you go out, you can't control everybody, so you take so many men and you put them in charge of so many men and tell them this is what you're responsible for. That's order and structure. And it has to be the same way today. Problem is that from the standpoint of Hebrews, I don't see a lot of brothers wanting to submit. They want to do what they want to do, even if they weren't called to it. And so we are woefully out of order. No, and I take my hats off to those brothers that have organizations where the people are in submission. Even if it's, and I'm going to say it this way, even if the organization is out of order. So we want to do things decent and in order. And what everybody that's coming in to understand, everything has to be done decent and in order. And it's not after the pattern of what Brother Miles decided. This is the pattern that is in the book. And as long as we stick with the book, we cannot go wrong. And those that are looking to do this to get rich, Yah will show them, and then they have to be dealt with accordingly. We have to understand that there is an order to this. We're not packing up, at least not right now, but who knows what comes in the future. We're not having to pack up any tabernacle and move it around. And Yah will bless us with not just one permanent facility, but something in every city. They have to run the same way. And so these things are after the order that the Most High has spoken. Even in the New Testament, when you see the brothers, those that are assigned to evangelism, those are the ones that are traveling. Those are the ones that are setting up new establishments. And they are supposed to be taken care of. I pray we can see the vision, and I pray that we can be, that we do what it is that the Most High is wanting done, to bring people into the kingdom under truth and under spirit, that his kingdom be established in the world and his government be established in the world, his order. So this is what we are endeavoring to do, and this is what the Most High has commanded, that we go and up under the Melchizedek order, that we're all servants one to another. And the ones that are greatest among us are those who actually are of a mind to serve and not to be served. Every one of us has to get in where we fit in. The religious order, the article reads as this, the religious order. The religious order of this church shall be called the Melchizedek Order or Melchizedek Ministry. Covenant fellowship partners of the order may be either married or single. I'm not saying that you can't, you know, like the Catholic Church says, hey, you can't be married and do this. And may be either male or female, because the Most High calls both, because there is neither male nor female in Christ. This order shall be an integral part of the church and shall be governed and directed by the local presbytery. So each organization, each location will have a leader, elder, that's in charge. But that elder reports to the central body. And everything that is run, everyone has to be run the same way. All right. So I'm going to read it, we'll vote on it, and or we can discuss. The religious order of this church should be called the Melchizedek Order or Melchizedek Ministry. Covenant fellowship partners of the order may be either married and or single, and may be either male or female. This order shall be an integral part of the church and shall be governed and directed by the local presbytery. All in favor of this reading or of this article, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. All right. So before we move on, I want to make sure that we understand that as we go forward in this, the Most High is going to make it where nations, cities, countries will be tithing into his kingdom. And we got to understand that under his system, approximately no less than one-tenth of all the world's wealth belongs to the priesthood. So whatever is in this world, however much that is, we know that there's trillions, and I'm talking about hundreds of trillions of dollars just in this one nation, the United States. One-tenth of that belongs to Yah, because it's holy to him. They will have to give it to him. So his priesthood is not going to be poor. It's not going to have to be the richest people in the world, but it's not going to be what? Poor. And a lot of people seem to think that the ministry, that if you're a minister or if you're a priest, that you're supposed to be quote unquote poor. You're just not supposed to love money. Most High doesn't expect that anybody that works for him will be poor. He hasn't set it up that way. You can't bless if you're poor. You can't help somebody out if you're poor. So the priests still have an obligation, just like the average everyday person does. They help take care of the widow, the fathers, and the homeless as well. But the priest's job really is, we really need to break out this theory so I can actually teach us this portion of it. The priest's job is to minister to the Most High. And everything that is concerning the Most High. So we have Aaron and his sons. What are they responsible for? Did it say that they were responsible for taking care of the people? No. Their job was to what? That tabernacle. And everything concerning them. They ministered to the Most High. That's the job of the priesthood. And what's the job of the elders? Because we are way out of order. The job of the elders was to minister to the people.
Right.
That's their job. And we are way out of order. But we have to come back into align with the scriptures. And see, a lot of what's happening is, a lot of these churches, the families or the governing board are creating wealth for themselves. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. So everybody that the Most High calls into ministry, male or female, they're supposed to be taken care of by the body for their service to Yah. The elders that come into this in the roles of elders, they are also supposed to be paid as part of the ministry. so that we can actually govern ourselves. Right now, we look for the world to police us. And then when the world gets crazy and start killing us and doing all those kind of things, then we want to get upset, but we won't come together and police each other. I wonder how many people really do want the kingdom of the Most High. Because I think they think this is some magical thing. I'm sorry, what did you say, my sister?
I said I wonder too.
Yeah, I don't think it's as many as they claim that they do. But this is what we're supposed to be establishing in the world, his kingdom. He's given us the structure. He's given us how to finance it. He's given us how to build it, how to sustain it. And we just have to, you know, are we going to be like our forefathers? Fifth next. So we'll see. We will see. One thing that, you know, I know the only thing I can do is just be faithful to what I know that he's told me and to do it. And to do it with, to the best of my ability.
My favorite, yeah.
Yeah, to the best of my ability. It's, you know, I'm either responsible for the increase is God. I can simply water or plant. The increase is his, and I'm nothing. And anybody that's coming into this got to understand, you know, because I got brothers that they want to teach because they want to be something. They want to lead because they want to be something. But the scripture tells them, one plant, another, one waters another plant, and neither one of y'all ain't nothing.
Mm.
It is y'all that gets the increase. It is y'all that gives the increase, and it's y'all that gets the glory. So, you know, if they come in for the wrong reason, if their motivation is wrong, if it's not to see to the wellness of the body, then they are not really called into this. Maybe they're called to do something else, but not to leave. Anyway, what time we got? 6:15. Let's go to the next article. We voted on this one, and we have approved it. The next article, and I know we get tired of hearing this, but the finance of the organization. The church shall be financed according to the scriptural method of tithes and offerings of the covenant fellowship partners and friends of the church. And that's Malachi 3:10, Matthew 23:23, Hebrews 7, verses 4-9, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 28-29, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 7-11. Additional fundraising activities may be approved by the pastor. These gifts, when given to the church, divest the donor of interest in the donated funds and property. The disposition of those funds shall be left to the pastor and the presbytery of the church. In other words, because donations and tithes and offerings are really belong to the priesthood, if you don't want a priesthood telling you what to do with your paycheck, then you shouldn't be telling the priesthood what to do with theirs. Because a lot of people want to give, but then they want to say, oh, I want it to go here, not understanding that the tithes and the offerings have always been for the priesthood and for their service for the Most High. Now, if they are holy men, then I pray they won't be taking their money and going to the casino or going to a brothel or drinking it up. It really needs to be really holy men, holy women as well. So anytime that someone comes, they want to donate something to the organization, this bylaw simply says that they are divest from their interest in that. Once they donate it, their interest goes away. You can't donate and then say, oh, I want you to use it like this, or I want you to use it like that. You have donated. It's no longer yours. Let me reread this again. The church shall be financed according to the scriptural method by the tithes and offerings, and the covenant shall fellowship partners and friends of the church. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Book of Malachi chapter 3. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, amen. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith Yah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So that says that to bring the tithe to him. Go to Matthew chapter 23. The book of Matthew chapter 23.
You said 26?
Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. And we are going to start in verse 23. If you have it, you say amen.
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 Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment and mercy and faith. These ought you to have done, had judgment of the other matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and not leave the other undone, the tithe, because they were required to tithe too. The Levitical priesthood is required to tithe to who? To the Aaronic priesthood. So he says, you paid your tithe, but then in this case, they weren't having what? They weren't administering the law correctly. They weren't doing righteous judgment. They weren't having mercy, and they were having no faith. He says, these ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. Or you can look at it the other way. They were paying their tithe, and they weren't having what?
Judgment, mercy, and faith.
Right. And these how you have done, paid your tithe, and not leave what? The law of judgment and the mercy and faith under. You can read that either way. The tithing is part of his system. It has always been to the priesthood. And if we went back into the law, we looked at the priesthood, the Levite, not the Aaronic priesthood, the Levitical priesthood, the tithe was given to them. And then they made a tithe of the best to the Aaronic priesthood, Aaron and his son. Not the Most High. So Aaron and his sons had a tenth of the tenth, and the Levitical priesthood had a tenth, and they split it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And let's get verses 4 through 9. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
7 and what?
9.
Hebrews chapter 7, starting in verse 4. And when you get there, my sister, you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoil. And verily they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive of the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithe of the people according to the law of their bread, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the rest is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And as I may say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, when he was yet in the loins of his father, when Melchizedek met him. So really, saying, hey, when Abraham met the Most High, because when you read the description of Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without number of days, this is the Most High in flesh. He is a priest. And that's why he has a priestly order. He says when Abraham met him, the Levites were yet in the loins of who? Abraham. But because Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, the Levitical priesthood did also. And the law doesn't mention anything about a Melchizedek order. It only mentions about the what? Levitical order. So he's saying that the Levitical order paid tithes to the Melchizedek order from the very beginning. That's the Most High himself. He says, now I give my tithe to the priesthood for their service. So we got to understand that this system doesn't go away because the Levitical priesthood is not here. The Levitical priesthood is predated by what priesthood? The Melchizedek priesthood. And Abraham paid tithe into the Melchizedek priesthood. He says, and all of Abraham's descendants, through Abraham did also. If we are the seed of Abraham, being in Christ, even if we're of the blood of Abraham, but if we are from the seed of Abraham according to the scriptures, if we are in Christ, then are we the seed of Abraham. If we're the seed of Abraham, then we're supposed to still be doing paying tithe into the what Melchizedek priesthood. It's an eternal priesthood. It predates and precedes the Levitical priesthood. So this does not go away. And this is why it says this is the system. When everything is all said and done in order, however many priests there are in this Melchizedek priesthood, globally, the firstborn out of all of them, just like up under the Levitical priesthood, the firstborn of all the Melchizedek priesthood will redeem one for one for each person on the planet. And then whatever's left that can't be redeemed because of the numbers, whatever's left, they will have to be redeemed by money. What the money has to do with it, you'll have to ask the Most High. But that's his system, and that's how he finances his system. Now, we can either just be obedient, or we can be what? Disobedient. Deuteronomy chapter 14. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 14. And let's start at verse 28. Verses 28 and 29. And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless and the widow which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that Yah thy Elohim may bless thee in all the work of thine hands which thou doest. Now, how many of us knew that there was a tithe of the third year? The tithe of the third year. Every 3 years, all the tithes are supposed to be brought forth, and the Levite will take part of it, but who else? the stranger,
and the widow, the widower, the fatherless.
They were just taken care of. Amen. So if everybody was faithful in paying their tithe, we could do these things.
Amen.
We could do these things because it's a commandment to do them. Did you see how much on wickedness we are? Because people just don't, you know, they want to fight it. Let's continue. Let's go drop down to verse 15. Let's go to chapter 15. No, let's read, let's finish reading 29. I'm sorry. And the Levite, because he has no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come and shall eat and satisfy. That Yah thy Elohim may bless thee in all the works of thine hand. I guess I did read that. So our people are suffering because we don't want to do what Yah has ordered us to do. You know, we keep the statutes, laws, and commandments until we don't. So we really have to come back to all that Yah has said we will do.
We will do.
We have to come back to that. Chapter 15. Same book. Verses 7 through 11. And when you have it, you say amen.
Amen.
If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine what?
The hand.
The hand. From thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine evil eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou shalt give him not, and he cry unto Yah against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest him unto him. It is that for this thing Yah thy Elohim shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to the needy in thy land. Can we hear that?
Amen.
Because Yah says he will bless us for doing it. Everything you put your hand to, he will bless you in doing it so that you can do this. And the more that we do it, the more he blesses. Because he says there's going to come a time when there is no poor in the land. But Messiah said, the poor you shall always have with you. Why? Why do you think he said that? Because we refuse to open our hands. And to see to not just a meal for them, he says, but to see to them what? Sufficiently. We got people that have way more than an abundance of what they need. And they think that feeding somebody is, you know, they're doing their good deed. That is not what God said. That's just like the story of the Good Samaritan. He could have just picked up the man on the side of the road, looked at his wounds, and said, okay, I'm going to leave you here, and I pray that you make it and that you are well. But what did he do? He didn't do that. He picked him up. He bandaged him up. He took him to a hotel or a place to stay, paid for his stay there, even sufficient to what? That if he left extra in case whatever the person wanted or needed, he says, now, if they go beyond this, I'll take care of the rest when I get back. Does that seem sufficient to that person's need?
Yes, it did.
He did. He could, you know, he went all the way and said, hey, even if they go over this, I'll take care of it when I get back. This is what the Most High is saying here. This is what the Messiah said in the New Testament. See, we just want to do the bare minimum, and then we think, well, that person is getting over. What did Yah say? Yah said, you do it, and I will bless you. I will bless you. Maybe we don't believe it. Maybe we think that, you know, this person don't deserve to be blessed because they're poor. They must have did something to be poor. That's what most people, the way most people think. It's not what Yah is saying. And we have to get on the side of Yah. So if that person gets over, guess who they got to answer to? Do they got to answer to you? No. Who they got to answer to?
The Most High.
Most High. That's why we have to stay out of this business.
Huh.
Just do what it is that he tells us to do.
Amen.
And don't worry about what you've given away. It's not yours anyway.
Huh.
He says, it's mine, and I'll just give it back to you and even more because you have a heart to do what I told you to do. You're not going to lack because of it. And you're going to be even more blessed if you close not your hand to the poor. Part of his ministry. It's part of what I'm going to be doing. And I pray that the rest of the body can follow suit. You want to be blessed, then you got to do what God says to be blessed. And do it without reservation. And don't be, because see, something else we read, we didn't really cover it. So when you loan to somebody, even the poor, they are supposed to pay you back. They're supposed to pay you back. But he says, that's why he says about the year of release, if that be closed every 7 years. So if in the seventh year, this person comes, you say they need, you give it to them. But before the end of the seventh year, before they can pay you back, you got to forgive them. You got to forgive them that debt. He says, and don't let your heart, let's read this again so we have understanding, okay? Start at verse 11. Verse 7. If there be among you poor, a poor man of one of thy brethren, within the gate, any of the gates of thy land, which Yah thy Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. Beware that there be not a thought in thy what? Wicked heart, saying the seventh year. The seventh year is the year of release. That means that whatever amongst our people, if you sold me your land at the end of 7 years, I had to give it back. If I loaned you money at the end of 7 years, if you all that you hadn't paid back, I had to forgive it or give you back whatever it was that you took out the loan or took the money from me for. I couldn't charge you interest. Okay? And thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, that thou givest him not, and cry unto the Yah against thee. And it shall be a sin unto him. Is that what it says? It says it'll be a sin unto you. Are we doing things the way Yah says to do them? I don't think so. What would be happening says, hey, we are amongst ourselves, we are not supposed to make lifetime loans. If you need a loan, then I loan you the money. I'm not supposed to charge you interest. And then you're supposed to do your best to do what? To pay me back. But if you're not able to pay me back within 7 years or whatever the seventh year when it comes for the year of release, let's say it's 3 years away. So I say, okay, 3 years away, you're going to make me payments of this amount. It'll be paid back by the year of release. And you're not able to do that. So what Yah says, at the year of release, whatever that was between us is supposed to be forgiven. If you sold me your land was to come back to you. And I couldn't charge you interest on it. Now, a stranger, we can charge interest. But our brother or our sister, we weren't supposed to. Can we hear this? The poor man, when he's saying to meet his needs, that's why he says, don't worry about the year of release. Don't if the year of release is coming up, don't not open your hands. This person was still supposed to pay you back, even if they were poor. They're supposed to be trying to pay you back. We're looking at giving to them like if what? Here's a gift, okay? No, you can do that. But that's not the way we're really set up. You're supposed to be helping them out. That's why it says lend to them sufficient, not so that they can, don't give them enough so they can stay poor. And so a lot of banks and small business loans try to do to, especially black businesses, let's give you just enough to keep you poor. That's not what the Most High wants. The fatherless and the widows, that's a different story. The poor in general, he says, don't close your hand to them. And just because it's the year of release, don't not do it because you don't, you know, you're afraid you're not going to get your money back. The fatherless and the widows, they're supposed to be taken care of, period. The poor among us, that could be anybody. I pray we can hear this. Let's go back up to verse 6. Let's actually do verse 5. And if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Right, amen.
Amen.
Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of Yahdai Elohim to observe to do all these commandments, which I command thee this day. For Yahdai Elohim blessed thee, as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And thou shalt reign over many nations, and they shall not reign over thee. This is what the nations don't want. But I'm telling you, if we get right, the way the Most High says get right, and we do it the way that he says, these things will come to pass. We are not in this position because of disobedience.
Amen.
All we got to do is be obedient, and we shall lend and not borrow. To nations, not just individuals, and we will charge them interest. You got to understand that the way the Most High has set this thing up. And then we shall rule over them and they not over us. Do you think that they haven't read this? Do you think that they want to be in that position?
Nope.
They have placed themselves in that position and we are the ones doing the borrowing and not lending. Because of our disobedience or the disobedience of our forefathers. So we got to understand, if we want to come out of this rut that we're in, then we have to do what the Most High says to do.
Amen.
Give me 5 minutes here. Let me do something here. Actually, 2 or 3 minutes. Let me play that song real quick, and I'll be right back.
Everything I do is for you. I give you the praise and the glory. You came and you walk in the flesh, an example of love. It is a story. Your words jump at me like a picture. The perfect you are in the scriptures. Your words, they don't change and they don't go void. You are the truth you deliver. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that. Check all my members, 'cause I gotta be in that number. Most High, I honor you. You are my Elohim. You're the creator of everything. There are no others beside you, and they know that.
And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with a great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. This is where the Most High really wants us to go. This is a hard thing for a lot of people because God worked hard for this. Understand that this is temporary. And no matter what, when you die, you can't take it with you. Lay you a treasure in heaven, because the Most High wants it to be where none of us lack. And if we do it correctly, none of us will lack. That is what this is all about, so that we can do the things for the poor, that we can take care of the widow and the fatherless, that everybody feeds back into the same system. This is his kingdom. So right now, you know, me and my wife are talking about it, but selling the house. It's getting to be where it's too big for us anyway, and our kids are grown. We need to be kicking them out. But the truth of the matter is, this is where the Most High wants us to go. Like I said, everybody can't and won't do this. I already know that. But I'm only responsible for me, and that's all I can do. When we read it, when we understand it, then when we know what we ought to do, that's what we ought to do. But this is what we're going to be held accountable for. Many other people who read this, they don't want to get along with, because they, number one, they're saying, well, we've been taught to be capitalistic, number one. We've been taught that, you know, whatever you work for, that's yours, and that's your reward. And under this capitalistic system, that's true. But you're not supposed to be part of this system any longer. We're supposed to be part of the kingdom of the Most High. In the kingdom of the Most High, you don't live to acquire wealth. God says, I will give you wealth. But it's supposed to be used to the furtherance of my kingdom. Hard for most people to hear. People can hear paying tithes. They can hear paying offerings. But the truth of the matter is, And if you ask most Christians, and I'm surprised when I hear them say it, but they say, oh, that's communism. And say, and this is the system that your Most High put in place. The problem is that he's got to be in charge of it. Men have tried it. Communism did try it. And what they found is, really what they found is that people lost interest. They would only do, you know, the bare minimum of work. They wouldn't do things to try to do better, because everything was going not to them, but it was going to the state. And then the state was saying, oh, we'll divvy it out and take care of everybody. But then you still had greedy men in that system, because it wasn't based upon the Most High. It wasn't based upon the Bible. So not that it was a bad idea, but you had men in charge of doing this, and corruption. You know, so that's why I say it's imperative. Can't say it enough. I mean, it's really imperative that the people who are in charge of things are really filled with the Ruach. It is a must. They have to have been, you know, brought themselves up under subjection. And not just claim it, but it has to be real. So let's read the paragraph, and then we will vote on it. Finance. The church shall be financed according to the scriptural method by the tithes and offerings of the covenant fellowship partners and friends of the church. Additional fundraising activities may be approved by the pastor. These gifts, when given to the church, divest the donor of all interest in the donated funds or property. The disposition of those funds shall be left to the pastor and the presbytery of the church. All in favor of this reading, say aye. Nobody's in favor. All opposed? Say nay. Nobody's got an opinion.
I was on mute. I'm sorry.
And I were too.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, when it comes to this finances, y'all became mute, huh?
Oh my goodness. All right.
Let me rephrase the question again. All in favor of the reading, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. All right, amen. And I'm going to start to wonder about y'all. All right. So let us pray. Heads bowed to the Most High of all. Father Yah, it is your government. It is your kingdom. It is your rule. Father, we just want to be obedient and faithful servants. Father, I pray that you give us one mind, one heart, and that we understand that it is you who blesses. It is you who gives every man and woman the ability to get whatever it is that they get, and it is you that blesses them or takes it away. Father, you have said that if we will not close our hand to the poor, but if we will open them to the poor, that it is you who will bless us. It is you who will repay us. So, Father, we just want to be obedient to your word. And I pray that you give us a meek and a humble spirit, that we are able to hear and obey, and not only that, but to teach. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen.
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 All right. I make a motion that we call this meeting to adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Second.
Amen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The ayes have it. All right, amen. I want to thank you, sisters, for your participation tonight. I pray that you're able to hear the word of Yah and to be obedient in it, in all that he says and to do. One of the things that I know for sure, we all have to come back to Yah and do all that he says.
Amen.
With our whole heart.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
There are no other options. You know, anything else, we fall short, and it's not acceptable to him, because he tells us this is what's required. This is the minimum standard. And so I don't care what everybody else is saying. I don't even care what everybody else is doing.
Nope.
I know what Yah has shown me.
Amen.
Amen.
So this is what I will be doing. I pray that we are of like minds and of like faith. And understand that Yah is not going to lead us astray.
Mm.
He's just not going to do it.
Mm.
We just have to be faithful. And I know that there are a lot of people out there saying a lot of things. I'm not going to come against anyone unless they are just blatantly, you know, going against the word of the Most High. I don't know what Yah is giving me.
Amen.
So I'm not going to come against them like that. But if I see them doing or saying something I know is clearly against the scripture, yeah, then I will speak out against it.
Amen.
You know, we are one body, and, you know, there are other faithful believers out there.
Yes, indeed.
And I know that the Most High has, you know, been having me to kind of cyberly travel and to drop a word here and there on different congregations. And trust me, when I tell them the things that I'm telling you, they get deathly quiet. You can hear a pin drop. But they can't deny it.
Right.
What they do with
Amen.
It, it's up to them. But they cannot deny it. So, you know, they're, you know, as I said, they will be held accountable. Can't hear the truth.
Amen.
You can choose to reject it, or you can choose to do it. But you will be held accountable. So they won't be able to say, I didn't hear.
I didn't know.
Right, they won't be able to say that. So I know that a lot of times, you know, the way that I teach, the way I have me to teach, it's, I'm not playing at it, and y'all don't have me playing at it. So I can't play at it. And it has to come out, you know, it's death, this is deathly serious.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
But we just have to take it that way. And so when I'm teaching it, you know, I have brothers that, man, but look, dude, you can, you don't have to accept it. And these are pastors. So you don't have to accept this. I say, but prove me wrong.
Right.
You prove me wrong, I'll shut up.
Huh.
It ain't happened yet.
Amen. Hmm.
So, you know, they, you know, some brothers have left. And they just, you know, it's too hard on my congregation. I said, well, brother, you asked me to teach for you. You asked me to teach your congregation. But I don't think it's the congregation's issue. I think it's yours. It's too hard for you. So, you know, let the perfect will of y'all be done.
Amen.
As I said, I can't get anybody into the kingdom. I can only teach what God tells me to teach and do all I can to get myself here.
Amen.
So I pray that we hear, that we become obedient. Serious when I say, with, you know, all that God has said,
yeah,
we must do.
Yes.
So, you know, whatever that takes, you know, I know for a fact these material things, that's all that is material. And when we go to our graves, you don't know who's going to take it and what they're going to do with it. What you value, you just throw it in the trash.
Right, yes, yes.
And that's what we've been holding on to, and that's what we can't hold on to. I told my children, hey, I ain't leaving you nothing. Come and do the work of the kingdom, and then you'll have yours.
Right.
Amen.
So I leave it to you. You know, I done slaved over this, and ain't no telling what you do with it. I've seen too many families fight over and become enemies because they fight over what their parents or somebody died left them.
Right.
Or they don't even esteem. I don't want that. Person's life's work, maybe it didn't amount to that much, but it's all they had to, you know, left. I would much rather go to my grave knowing that I gave it to the kingdom. And Yah can say, good, and then thy faithful servant, right? Whatever his judgment is going to be just, whatever it is.
Right.
I leave that in his hands. It's, you know, that it's beyond, all that I can do is I want to do what I know to be right.
Man.
So, as I said, we will be getting into some other ministry. People are coming and going, and I expect that. I expect people to come. I expect them to come and some to stay and some to run. It's not a match for everybody. It's just what, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
So y'all will send those, and those that are going to be faithful, they're going to be faithful. Those that are his, they will hear the truth and be faithful.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Those that still want to adhere to this world or trying to please men or trying to fit, lie in their pockets, they can't hear this. because it's about them and not about the kingdom. So I thank y'all for all of you, because you are faithful. And I pray always that he is with you. And I wish you had called me, my sister, when you had that car wreck. So that I could pray for and with you, even in that time. That being said, we are over the time, and I know that we're all busy. May y'all encounter the angels around. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, hopefully tomorrow night, remember, I love you. I truly do. But I can never love you like the I love you. Shalom.
Shalom. Love you too, brother.
Teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.